1 year ago this month, the first case of Ebola was found in Guinea in West Africa. It set off the deadliest Ebola epidemic in history. Recently, the outbreak has slowed, but reports today say there have been a dozen or so new cases in Liberia along the border of Sierra Leone. So far in West Africa, the virus has killed more than 7,300 people. Dr. Raj Punjabi grew up in Liberia. That's the country with the most deaths from the virus so far. He is CEO and founder of Last Mile Health and an associate physician in Global Health Equity at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Punjabi, where do we stand now at the end of a year of fighting Ebola?
I just returned a few weeks ago from Liberia, where we've been working closely with the government and other partners to respond. And I can tell you from having been there with our teams responding to an outbreak in the jungle, the real challenge now is that we're in Liberia, at the least, entering a new phase. Whereas weeks ago, the challenge was rapid, high levels of transmissions, 150 cases a day or more, primarily driven by transmission in Monrovia, the capital. What we're seeing now is that there are fewer cases per day, but the challenge is that you have, rather than one major epicenter of an outbreak, you have dozens of smaller outbreaks happening in remote areas of the jungle. So while we're pleased, at least in Liberia, there has been progress, we are entering a new phase where the challenge is really getting to zero. Ebola anywhere is a threat to people everywhere. And so you cannot have almost zero with Ebola. You've got to get to zero cases. And the challenge there is to get the response working and effective and rapid enough in the most remote parts of the country, remote jungle villages, like the places where this disease, in fact, started.
The disease started 1 year ago this month, in fact, and it started with a two-year-old. Remind us very briefly, because this is really a lesson in terms of how people responded, how the disease responded. Remind us what happened.
Yeah, it's relevant now. I mean, to get to zero, you have to think about patient zero, that first little two-year-old boy named Emil in a remote village across the border from us in southern Guinea. He came down with fever, vomiting, and diarrhea. He died a year ago this month. His mother died a few weeks later of the same symptoms. His sisters died a few weeks later. His grandmother died a few weeks later. It wasn't until 3 months later when finally someone from his village made it, the several hours journey that it took to the nearest hospital. And by then it was too late. By then it had spread from one boy to one family to one village. It would eventually spread to three countries and then to six countries in the region. And then it would spread to capital cities, and it would even go as far as to cause havoc in the United States, closing schools in Dallas, bowling alleys in New York, and even impacting political careers. So, you know, this little boy in the rainforest, two-year-old Emil, that little boy still offers us lessons. If at the end of this crisis we are no less vulnerable than that boy was, then we haven't done enough.
Okay. I want to get to the vulnerability and to the perspective here in the United States, because you are in a very interesting position as being a bridge from there to here, there being Liberia, the country that you fled when you were just a boy yourself. So when the fact that the little boy didn't get the health care that he needed, that was that a factor of lack of transportation, logistics of where he would have to go, how far literally he would have to go to get health care, or was it some other kind of reluctance?
Yeah, no, it certainly is the former, the lack of logistics, a lack of infrastructure, certainly the lack of roads in these areas. But it's also a factor primarily of poverty. We've not invested in the way that we could. And part of it's a feeling that it's impossible. The other part of it is that we think it's too expensive. And, you know, we're finding out now the cost of inaction is more expensive than the cost of action. And, you know, had we put tens of millions of dollars of investment in all of the remote villages in these three countries to bring a paid, professionalized community health worker tied to a great nurse, tied to strong primary health care clinics with great infection control, if we had done that, we wouldn't be spending the billions of dollars we are just to chase the epidemic and suffering the billions of dollars of cost that's come against the economies of these countries because of this epidemic.
Okay, so that's where Last Mile Health comes in, which you co-founded, which you're the CEO of. Is it still true, Raj, that there have not been any cases of Ebola in the villages where Last Mile has set up?
That's true. We've still, had some suspected cases, but we've picked them up and they've turned out to be not Ebola.
And these are remote areas as well.
These are remote areas. So we're actively following with a community health worker in every single village, tied to a nurse, tied to a clinic, eventually tied to a hospital, to provide active surveillance for this disease for every single man, woman, and child, and keep routine health services going, like making sure kids with malaria don't die because health services have been disrupted, making sure that mothers get access to safe birth in those settings.
And it all sounds like common sense, though, and as you say, it's doable.
Well, I think that there are a lot of lessons still to be learned in this crisis, and the phases of the epidemic are also important to take stock of. So the response that we have, a decentralized community health worker approach with a strong support of the local government in remote regions, that was a response that was needed at the very beginning. It wasn't there. The epidemic eventually spread to the city in Monrovia, where the response has to be different. And now we're back at that phase because the response in the city has been strong, where we have to get better at responding to these outbreaks in the jungle.
What is the greatest challenge that you encountered, perhaps one that you didn't even expect?
You know, the biggest challenge is the cynicism. And, you know, they're all the obvious challenges, right? They're bridges you have to cross. Or you have to cross over log bridges by foot that are 15, 20 feet above a creek.
Did you do that, by the way?
Yeah. That's what our workers do every day. You know, we have a nurse that goes out on a jungle motorbike every day to go and support these village-based health workers, and they have to cross bridges like that. You know, our colleagues in Riversess were having to work on rebuilding bridges just to access this community where this woman had died, and 14 people had also died of Ebola. Those are the obvious challenges, but you asked what surprised me, and what has surprised me all along is how cynical we are in the global public health community. I mean, bringing healthcare to everyone, no matter where they live, should not be a challenge or a debate. Illness has been universal for our entire human history. Access to care is not. And we should stop that. And to do that, we have solutions. When we don't do that, we get the kind of challenges we get now. Not only has Ebola threatened my country that I grew up in, but it's become an issue of the world. And so, you know, the good news is we can learn a lot from this crisis, and we can come out stronger than we were before the crisis. And there's a good example of that. President Sirleaf, Liberia's president, along with a number of other partners, her government has worked on a massive workforce plan, which would deploy hundreds of Liberian doctors, thousands of Liberian nurses, tens of thousands of Liberian community health workers. This plan could, in a matter of years, cover every single man, woman, and child in the country. Healthcare for everyone, no matter where they live. That could prevent the next Ebola. It could also help stop the current epidemic. So we've got to look at plans like that and invest in them to support the government in its new plan to deploy hundreds of Liberian doctors, thousands of Liberian nurses, tens of thousands of paid professionalized community health workers, with the goal of covering all of the remote villages in our country. And I think if we can do that, and many join us in that fight, then I think we can be sure that we're much stronger the next time an Ebola tries to attack us.
Raj, we wish you very good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa.